Golden Service at Tunakali this year. These are some of my people from the Federation Guard. The Kiwis there are assisting, but this is actually on Anzac Cove and the mounting of the catapult party. These are Army, Navy and Air Force folk. Interesting to see that what ABC broadcast was the only the dawn service. So they didn't do any of the lead up to the dawn, and in the lead up to the dawn service there was there was a thing called the reflective program. They started at 11 o'clock at night and went right through to 5:30 in the morning. We mounted, I'm sitting behind on the dais there. And Mark Kelly is an ex-Chief of Army, and now one of the movers and shakers of Department of Veterans Affairs. So, the Chief of Navy was there. He gives a little burst, as was the Foreign Minister and a number of others. So, but the interesting thing was we had to come in to Anzac Cove the night before. So we had to sleep in location, because otherwise, with the number of people that were there and security, it was just crazy. So we had to camp. I'll show you the camp in a minute. But we had to sleep in on stretchers and whatever. We got to bed at midnight, and breakfast was at 3:30. So I got up at 3, and I thought, it's 5 degrees, it'll be right, because I took the thermals as well. I thought, it's all right, this is just a normal summer's day on the Monero, you know. And anyhow, I won't put the thermals on. So we got through, we had breakfast and then got dressed and ready to go up. As soon as the sun started to come up, the temperature plummeted. It was freezing. It was a bit of a taste of what it would have been like back then. But this was good weather. I had a Kiwi chaplain beside me. And he had a bit less insulation than what I had, and he was literally shaking. He could barely speak, and he had thermals on. I didn't know, but he did. So this is just, and you can have a look at it later if you want to. It doesn't capture the spirit of what dawn service is over there. There was about 1,088 odd visitors there who slept inside on the ground, just on a mat or whatever. They must have been cold as well. And to capture that whole reflective program that went on beforehand, which covered, you know, VC winners, it covered not only just the landing itself, but all the way through. So, but the speeches and that, particularly Bronwyn Bishop, Julie Bishop, Bronwyn Bishop. Julie Bishop. Julie Bishop was actually rattled a bit, not at the dawn, but at Rankine, because she met a guy who was there, a relative of the youngest guy and she's the Kiwi Justice Minister. She was brilliant. But what I was going to say is,
Why was she rattled, Noel?
She was rattled because someone, a next of kin, of the youngest person there, he was 14, he'd lied about his age. And the next of kin there, and they were actually standing around his grave. And she just melted.
Yeah.
It's that sort of.
Yeah.
But it's really, really, you know, good in terms of. So what is it going? Is it? What I'd like to do, it was a very interesting deployment, and some of the things that I might you know talk about this morning is probably not for public dissemination. Yeah, it is being recorded.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll just have to watch myself.
Yes.
So thank you for having me this morning. I was looking forward to this because the Gallipoli trip was something that was really moving for me in many ways. As you may or may not be aware, I'm coming up to 40 years with the Air Force. I get a Federation star, which is, you know, 5 little pips and everything else. So I become a 1 star. Just kidding. So it's been a long journey for me. I've been at the Federation Guard, which is the ceremonial unit for ADF. It's a tri-service unit, Army, Navy and Air Force people. We took about 15 of our members across. Air Force band contingent also came with us, and you'll see some of them, you know, in some of the slides I'll show you later. But it was really interesting because our deployment to Gallipoli was only one from the Federation Guard that went around the world. We had deployments in Dili. We had deployment in France and Belgium, and that's apart from all of the stuff in Australia. So it was a really moving experience for me. I come away and it was a bit overwhelming in terms of my response to it. I'll show you some of this stuff here. And you might like to have a look at it later. Okay. Yeah.
We can see it.
So when I was earmarked to go, and that was another bit of a story, but I won't go into that one. But the bottom line was that I was earmarked to be the lead chaplain for the Gallipoli deployment. And that meant basically doing the upfront work with any ceremonial from a religious perspective, which I did the dawn service, which you see there, but also Lone Pine, which had no broadcast, that wasn't taped or anything at the moment. I think I've got a tape available, but I'm still trying to acquire it. But in terms of the total picture, I was so overwhelmed with things because I'd read the C.E.W. Bean account of Gallipoli. If anyone hasn't read that, borrow it from the library. This is a library book. Have a read. He was appointed as Australian journalist to Gallipoli and landed with the first landing and stayed there until the last withdrawal. Very, very interesting to read of his interactions with the troops and with the military hierarchy as well. So what I tried to do on the way over was to prepare a little bit of a diary thing for me. So I wanted to try and capture my experience as I went through this, because I didn't know what was going to happen or whatever. So I thought, you know, I'll gather all this information. I took notebooks and I recorded and I took photos and I WhatsApped my family and, you know, did all the try and do the technical stuff. But it was interesting that in all of that, it was still overwhelming. There was so much and the place was so moving that it was just, it was brilliant. I came away with, and I couldn't find a word to describe the experience. I came away with one word, and you know what the word was? Ridiculous. It was a ridiculous experience. Ridiculous as in good ridiculous. Ridiculous as in some of the bloody military decisions made or achieved on the spot were absolutely ridiculous. The death, the horror was ridiculous. The character of the soldier, positively ridiculous. Because the what they went through and the achievements was just ridiculous. Emotionally for me it was ridiculous because I went over there and I'll talk a little bit more a bit later about some of the security stuff, but it became very emotional. I soaked everything in and enjoyed it, but it snuck up on me and hit me like a ton of bricks. The depth of the culture, it was a spiritual experience, but it wasn't the buzz, but it was the depth of a moving thing that I went through, and that was very enjoyable, but it was still had some very, very big challenges. So we went, it took us 10 days. My role wasn't just the ceremonial sort of stuff up front. My role, the 90% of my role is about working with people, and particularly our young people, and helping them to ingest, helping me to ingest what I was trying to go through, but also helping others try to come to grips with what on earth they've just walked into. And that was the highlight, totally. All of the ceremonial stuff was cream on the top. But it took us 39 hours travel each way to get there. Defence, in its wisdom, chose to we deployed. I deployed from home to AFG and AFG to Sydney by bus. Only there was a crash on the Hume, and it took us 6 hours to get to Sydney, and then we got to Sydney Airport and a couple of hours wait there, and then took off on Etihad to Istanbul, and you know, eventually we flew to Abu Dhabi, 3 hours wait there at Abu Dhabi, another aircraft to Istanbul, and as soon as we got to Istanbul, we had another 6 hour bus ride down to Çanakkale, down at the bottom of the peninsula, and we were fairly had it by the time we got there. So I'll show you some pickies.
I'll just try and pull up some.
There's all sorts of things that you can read later if you wanted to. Again, the guide giving us the brief of where they landed and what was happening and everything else. We actually stayed in tents. This is now the Anzac Cove, and there's those memorial plaques there. ABC was setting up their hardware in preparation for it. We slept in that end tent on the night over here. So there was, you know, 15 of us stuck in this, you know, 12 by 12 tent. Yeah, it was interesting. but in the background on the dawn service, you have the sea bashing onto the shore. And it's not hard at all. There's a wreck just out to sea here, and they light it up of the dawn. So it was interesting. We had I've got a bullet here that is used by over in Turkey, but one of our guys actually unscrewed the. It's not a real bullet. Unscrewed it and put some Gallipoli sand in it. So just as a memento. It was very sweet.
What bullet says? It's not a 303.
No, that's only a pistol.
Pistol, yeah.
It's a lookalike now. It's not real. So you can see some of the, you know, the history of it. You could just spend, you know, hours there. From Ataturk, and he was one of the early commanders on the day, and he went right through and became president of Turkey, and I'll talk about that a bit later. Arabanu is another one of the. This is where the photo was taken that appeared in the local Monero post, but the Commonwealth War Graves Commission. So they have all sorts of things. So that's Arabanu, another memorial. Beach Cemetery, this is and some of the headstones there. Above reproach, there's a Jewish headstone.
What are the headstones constructed of now?
Just concrete.
Clubs,
Concrete.
Oh, concrete.
This was one of the. I thought this was very interesting, because it was a drink that the Turks love, and you know what it tasted like.
Yogurt.
It was Greek yogurt. Yeah. So no sugar in it whatsoever, with a bit of water.
Yeah.
It was strangely good.
Yeah.
It was strangely good. Now here's one of the tractors. This is a very new tractor, but it's a very old plough, and that's a homemade plough. And that's how they're doing it. Lone Pine, and that was an amazing area. This is where, you know, I walked through the trenches, and the trenches are still there. Still walk around. One of our guys found a donkey horseshoe with the nails still in it. It's just crazy. Some of the tunnels, just, you know, and the Turkish and the Allied lines are only 5 or 6 feet apart underneath.
Trees are 90 years old or something,
aren't they? Yeah, very old trees. So you just walk around, this is crazy. So at Lone Pine, when you look down, you can see the coastline stretching down. The Brits landed down in the bottom there at Suvla Bay, because Lone Pine was to be a diversion, but Gallipoli dug in, the Brits dug in down at Suvla Bay, and everyone's going, where are they?
They lost more than we did, didn't they?
The Turks?
No, the Brits.
No. No, not there, no. The Turkish lost 70,000. So, you know, I've recorded my own little thoughts wandering around these, and, you know, it's just crazy. So the neck, you're looking out across the Dardanelles there. Ataturk is revered by everyone in Turkey as the leader, and, you know, he was a statesman, he was a military commander here. And that's his a little thing in the bottom of his memorial, or one of the memorials. Chinook Bear is where the Kiwis lost a lot of people there, thousands of people. It was just, that's, so the Kiwis
actually went and did theirs while we did the Lone Pine. So, but it's quite amazing. Some of the photos, this is at Anzac Cove on the night before. So the cameras were up, there's just getting all the projectors and everything else. Last light. But the security situation was that these are patrol boats, and they are gunned, loaded. The guy standing on the front of that has real bullets, and you know, you don't go anywhere near them. You don't mess with them. So I grabbed a photo with a couple of the SF guys. This was on the ferry on the way over and back on the Dardanelles. So when we hit the Gallipoli Peninsula, these are armoured vehicles, and they're very interesting. We can just see how big the security thing was. Stop points, we had to stop and had to get frisked and all sorts of things. So we went to one. We marched on there was a Turkish memorial, so we were all dolled up in our finery and marched with the Turkish people as well. That was the ours and the Kiwis with us for that march. These guys are the gendarme, and they're military police. They have 3,000 military police apart from the SF guys. This memorial actually is just the size of it. It is huge. Then this is the main Turkish memorial. On the morning of the dawn service, my daughter Fiona took the photo off her television in Canberra of the day, and so the catafalque party, a few more soldiers. There was about 3,000 scouts just doing familiarisation on the thing, and the Turkish just, you know, love it. Sleeping bags. That was just an ambulance that followed us, just in case. Dura di Ocho, come back to that. Stop. Okay, so I think that's probably done that for the moment. I didn't include any of our when I brought some of this stuff along to talk to you about, you can have a look later. Some of the operations manual just for the dawn service. The printouts for it. There's all sorts of photos and stuff. Now, some of these books, Bean's Diary of Gallipoli, here's the equivalent from the Turkish perspective. All right. The book here, Bloody Ridge, is the Turkish for our Lone Pine. As you're aware, there's 5 VC winners at Lone Pine. It was just slaughter. But you can have a look at that. Turkish are very very proud of their flag. In fact, on that big memorial, it's underneath. And that memorial has one stone on top, and I said to one of the guys over there, must have been a bloody big crane to put that up there. They puzzled on it. Anyhow, I'm just an idiot. Ataturk, the whole sort of character between Australian and Turkey was really interesting, and you've heard on the Anzac services, I'm sure. A part of what Ataturk said, he says, those heroes that shed their blood and lost their lives, you are now lying in the soil of a friendly country. Therefore, rest in peace. There's no difference between the Johnnies and the Mehmets. to us where we lie side by side in this country of ours. You, the mothers who sent their sons from faraway countries, wipe away your tears. Your sons, now lying in our bosoms, are in peace. After having lost their lives on this land, they've become our sons. And it was just an amazing experience to see the friendliness of the Turkish people. It was quite outstanding. In all of the travels over there for me, and you can have a look at this one. This has occurred in the Monero Post. I wrote over there, tried to capture some of the things that really sort of, you know, got to me. And this is what I wrote. And I want to read it because it captures what the deployment was about. Yesterday, the ADF contingent visited Gallipoli Peninsula and walked to the significant sites of the Gallipoli operation, Anzac Cove, Lone Pine, Chinook Pear, Shrapnel Gully and many more. I walked the trenches of 1,000 troops, felt the sting of wind and the waves, the heights and the depths of inhospitable terrain, the beauty and the terror of ages past. I felt the senseless loss of life, the generations lost, the anger and grief of a million mothers, the courage and bravery of nations, the camaraderie and respect of fighting forces. Here there is no dead, no Turk or Anzac, just blood brothers at rest. The courage, bravery, death and loss on both sides has been forged into a national friendship. The hills declare Dura Yolcha. Remember that? Dura Yolcha. Now, stop, passerby. Dura Yolcha. That's what that means. And this ground witnessed an end of a generation. And this is current with Turkey. And the beginning of a new generation. That's inherent in the Turkish words. Don't walk past this land without acknowledging it. Never before have I felt so warmly embraced with a sense of presence, place and history. Thankful for the living memory, past, present and future. Was it yesterday that I walked this land? Yes and no. The timelessness of the experience knows no bound. That's the ridiculous part of it. I came to the Gallipoli Peninsula as a visitor. And I leave as an ambassador of a fallen generations and friendly nations, lest we forget. So that sort of captured and it was quite amazing at 4 o'clock in the morning, by the way, as usually it happens. The security concerns were really important to me because it really put me on my mettle. Because I thought to myself, it had this deployment to Gallipoli, it was in 2017. It's crazy. But it had all the hallmarks of an actual operation for me. Because there was the threat. I actually said, still a victim. I actually said farewell to my family. Because I didn't know, you know, what would happen on the day. So, but you pull yourself together and you put it behind you and you go and do what you've been trained to do and you do it well and to the best of your ability. When I got home, it just melted. But amazing. Would I do it again? Maybe. But it was good. Sorry. Still get a bit emotional about it. So for me, the experience linked me with the past. It connected me with the present in terms of, Australia and Turkey. But it also gave me a glimpse of an insight in other ways, like for example, because in my normal day-to-day life, I'd help people with trauma, or have been exposed to trauma. And a part of that, with the World War One now, I know there's no survivors of World War One anymore, but nonetheless, the legacy is continuing. But the legacy now of the friendliness of, from Ataturk right through, of the Turkish people, really, you know, there's a resolution to the conflict, which in other elements around our world, like Vietnam, like Afghanistan, there is no resolution. There is, this was really, really interesting, and it helped me to understand a little bit more of the effect, the ongoing effect, and of how things in the past can actually snowball the effect of trauma in the future. So my response, again, it was just emotional. It was overwhelming. It was joyous. It was enlightening. It was gut-wrenching. It was, there was fear. There was, you know, a little bit of courage. It was whatever. One of our other things that we were able to fit, we had one rest day over there, but we also visited Troy, and so there's a wooden horse there, and it sways in the wind and it scared the daylights out of me. So we look at some of the archaeological excavations at Troy. That was quite amazing. Go and have a look at that. And also to Assos, which is on the bottom peninsula, bottom headland, and the Temple of Athena is up the top. It's about 1,000 feet off the sea level, and some of our guys, there's no fences or anything, some of our guys are looking down like this. I couldn't do it. But and it was just the cultural depth of those things that was there, especially when I look into the scriptures and I see Paul's missionary journeys. And you know what Asia Minor is? Asia Minor in biblical terms is Turkey to a great degree. Ephesus was just down the road from where we were. Just crazy. And as I stood on the shores of the Dardanelles, and especially at Anzac Cove, you see these enormous container ships coming through. But in your mind's eye, it's timeless. And you can see the Roman galleon coming around the headland and beating the crap out of the village just down the road and, you know, robbing and burning and pillaging and whatever, and then going back. It's that timeless. The Paul's missionary journeys and the early travels of the gospel was just, you know, historically, it was just an amazing experience. So thank you very much. Just encourage you to go and have a look, go and experience. But for me, a wonderful experience. Thanks very much. Any questions?
No. Over 100 years before Gallipoli, Turkey attacked Vienna and failed. The general in charge was then executed back in Turkey for the failure. Do you think there's a case to look at the generals or leaders who took us into Gallipoli, have at least their decorations or whatever stripped from them?
That's actually ongoing.
Some of the military, operations and whatever, you're just absolutely ridiculous. But nonetheless, history writes its own history. And I think one of the things that comes out for me in terms of that the character of the soldier who was there, they got the third ridge on the first day. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
There's more Turks died than allies.
Yeah. But the whole Dura Yolcha thing is, you know, the Turkish people, you Anzac. And this is what they say today. You Anzac, we love Anzac. These are Muslim people. Mm. Oh, we love Anzac. Allah
loves everyone, so we love everyone. It's a bit of a challenge, you know, for me. That was really, really good.
No, I've got to pick you up with that point there and share just a moment of experience on my first trip to the West Wing. Like you, I was struggling to understand why did the Turks like us or welcome us when we were there. And I asked the Turk at the Hellas Memorial, which is the major British memorial there, which, by the way, only had about 50 Brits there on the day. I queried that, and apparently Britain's lost a few other wars other than just the Battle of Gallipoli, which was made at that point. But I said to this Turkish guy, how come you guys welcomed us here when we came to invade your country? And he said, oh, no, you were sent. That's
exactly right. That came up time and time and time again. We were the aggressor. We were just happened to be there. Turkey and Britain don't get on still. But you're dead right, Pete. Yeah, it's an amazing experience. And that door at Yalta, it just hit me. Because you see that, and you see the Turkish way carved into the hills. But the hills declare, passerby, stop, hang on, wait. This is precious to us. Any other questions? You're welcome to have a look and see what's here.
I'll just make an observation. Old Loretta and I were over there, fortunately not on Anzac Day, at another time a few years ago. And there were more Turkish tourists there than there were Aussies and other kinds of people. And Loretta still, she keeps it as a screensaver on her computer, a photo of three Turkish boys who were desperate for her to take their photo. And they just look so great.
And the challenge for us, for me in Australia, the Turkish people revere it so much that they have thousands of scouts come and just walk around. They're soaking up their culture, their history, whereas, in Australia.
That's year round, not just Anzac.
That's all the time. So it's. It was a challenge. It was ridiculous. That's the only word I can catch.
Well, Noel, I've been up with us all. Thank you so much for sharing from your hearts today. That's been, I think, very moving. The sense around the room of the hearing the pin drop syndrome and. My wife and I also had the privilege of visiting Gallipoli in 2013 on a study tour, and so we went to study biblical archaeology, and so we did some of the stuff that you touched on at the end. But and we visited Gallipoli as part of it, so it was kind of the reverse priority order, I suppose, of what you were there for. And what strikes me hearing you share the story today is that we did it, of course, without any security, because no one cared that we were there. We were at liberty just to wander around and look and hear the story and so on. But it was a kind of an academic exercise. It touched us here a little bit, but not really deeply. So it's been, for me, quite fascinating hearing you share the, from I guess a military perspective as well, and military history and all of that, the way it impacts the heart. So on behalf of us all, thank you for sharing all that. It's been brilliant.
Thank you.